want you to turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. God had instructed Noah to build an ark or a big boat. And, you know, Noah and his sons and whatever, they built this boat. And when they finished it, the Lord told him to go in, and all the animals came in as God called them, and they situated everything. And, I mean, you know, just God ordained it all because it was God. And everything was in it, and all of a sudden, as they all got in, it says that the Lord shut the door of the ark. And as time went on, it says that water came from the sky and from the bottom of the earth. The wells, springs of waters, was opened up. And we know it flooded the earth, and we know about flood. I mean, you know, we know about water. And all that happened. And it says that after a time period of being in that boat, that it stopped raining, the water stopped gushing out from underneath the earth, it stopped, and the ark came to a place where it stopped, wouldn't float anymore. And it stayed there for a while, and I could give you dates and times, but that's not what I'm kind of after. And as it stopped there, they had to wait time-wise before they were able to come out of the ark and be able to make a sacrifice unto the Lord and to thank him for protecting their family and to thank him for how faithful he was to them. And as they came out, they did those things, sacrificing to the Lord, giving honor and homage to their God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How miraculously he saved them and their family. But God made a promise to them and to us. And that's where I want to start reading. It says in verse 11, it says, "And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy earth." Never again. "And God said, this is the token of my covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and earth," and the earth, meaning him and the people upon the earth. Not the earth itself, but people. "And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the clouds." Talking about what? A rainbow. Right. "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in this cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of my covenant which I have established before me and all flesh that is upon the earth." And we'll stop right there, 17. Here we see God established a covenant between man and himself. And it even says in the scriptures that we read that he remembers his covenant. And now as we look out upon the earth, we don't see, I know, a rainbow every time, you know, when it rains. And so like today, I haven't seen one. But it will come up sometime, probably today, somewheres or sometime. And it's a covenant, and we know that God made this covenant with man for us to remember. Amen. Number one is to remember that the earth was flooded. Yes. The whole entire earth. And that he will never, ever, ever, ever let that happen again. that it will. Now, there may be certain places we know of because of rain and water and all this stuff everywhere, whatever, that certain places do flood, whatever, that happens. But God is saying, I've made a covenant with man, and that covenant will stand till eternity with man, that he will never do it ever or allow it to be done ever again. And we know as Christians, we look at the rainbow and we remember that covenant. And we say, thank you, Lord, for what you have shown us, what you have told us. And we can know as it is raining outside, whatever days, like today, that as we see that rainbow, that bow in the sky, that God is speaking to the earth, his people, saying, look, I will never flood the whole earth again. That gives us some kind of reliance upon him, knowing that God keeps his word continuously. And so we can have faith because he keeps his covenant with us constantly. We can know that no matter what we go through, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what goes on between us and God, that God keeps his word no matter what when he makes a covenant with his people. It's been established, and it's an amazing thing. It was established at almost the beginning of mankind that God established his covenant with his people. With his people. So anybody, it's for the believer and the unbeliever. Some believe it and some don't. But it does not matter who believes it. What God said, it is truth. And when God says it's truth, we can rely upon him and him alone to bring it about, whatever he's spoken to our hearts and our lives. See, if we can establish this word, that man, God, we probably could go out right now. We might see a rainbow and think, yes, Lord, you keep your covenant. When we know it's truth, when God does something or when God speaks to us, we can rely upon that covenant that he's spoken to us about, that he will do it. Let me say it again. He will do it no matter what. No matter what things look like from the physical eye. No matter what things look like from the spiritual eye of God Almighty. No matter what's going on in the outside world. No matter how the economy looks. That doesn't matter with God, because we don't go on God's, on man's economy. We live on God's economy. And because he's kept it, it's true, because he's kept the covenant with us, that we can rely upon him when he speaks and says certain things. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah chapter 17. Look at verse 7. If God keeps his word with that rainbow, every one of us can trust him with everything. Because he has established his word with mankind. And that's just one of many, many things. It says this in verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. A man who does not trust in the Lord is cursed, while the verse says that a man who trusts in the Lord is blessed. Let me read it again. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. God is saying, blessed, happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. Happy is he, people. We can trust him. you and I can trust him with our lives. You and I can trust him with our families. Say amen. Amen. That means so be it. Yes, I do. I agree. Amen. We can trust him with our church. Say amen. Amen. So be it. It's okay. I'm messing with you. Amen. We can trust him with our church. This is a big one. We can trust him with our money.
Amen.
Huh. Amen. It's not ours. You got it. We're just stewards of it.
Amen.
Thank God he's given us the ability to work.
Hallelujah.
And have the mind to make money. I hope every one of you just roll over and you make all kind of money. I mean, you just make money. Because you see, money's not evil. It's when the love of it, that's the entanglement.
Amen.
The love of it. We can trust him with our money. We can trust him with our children. We can trust him with our church. We can trust him with everything we possess that he's allowed us to have. We can trust him. It says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. That scripture still. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, people. He's established it from the beginning. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, and I know I've told you this, and they were running around with fig leaves on, clothes, trying to cover. And God came in and killed some animals and made them some clothes. And in killing it, he sacrificed it to cover their sin, the blood. From the beginning, God had a covenant with mankind. It says this, and I know the scripture, it says, for God so loved the world. My God. He loves us so much. I don't think we realize how much love he has for us. Even though we know what he did. Even though we know what he gave. Even though we know what he sacrificed. That he loves us so much that he will do whatever it takes to keep us close to him. Because our souls are in the balance, or weighing in. But it says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Trust in him. You know, I want to encourage you to trust him. I know this year is the end of the year is here. We're in the Christmas season. I mean, you know, I know you're spending a lot of money. Say amen. No, some said no. Yeah. You're spending a lot on those grandkids. The kids have been pushed aside, and now it's just the grandkids. No. That's okay. You're spending a lot on food. And, you know, hey, look, there's nothing wrong with all that stuff, people, just so Jesus is number one.
Amen.
And we're going through this time of where Jesus is born. And thank God that the world recognizes that our Savior was born. Now, they may recognize he was born, but they don't recognize him as Savior. And that's totally different. And I will preach on that maybe next Sunday, whatever, close to Christmas. But blessed is the man who trusts in him, whose hope is in him. Because you see, he's the God that can bless his people beyond measure because he keeps his promises. And he's true to his promises. To trust is a conscious dependence upon him. To trust him. To trust him. To cling to him. To confide in him. To have confidence in him. I want you to turn, if you would, to Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Daniel 3:28. To trust him. You know, here, and I know you know this story about Shadrach, Meshach. Amen. Lord has said he was talking about the three amigos this morning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I know, you know, we know the story. But let me tell you, don't ever think you know everything about the Bible. Because once you think you know everything about the Bible, the Holy Spirit will slap you on the side of the face, bring you to your knees, and show you you don't.
Amen.
God says to continue meditating upon the Word of God till it becomes a part of you, till it becomes a part of your thinking, till it becomes a part of your soul, people, becomes a part of your being. So that when something happens, is the Word of God that comes forth out of us. You see, and only you have the conscious decision or ability to put that Word in you. Just like I'm the only one that can put that Word in me. Just like you made a conscious decision, thank God, to come to church, to hear the Word of God. To hear how God keeps his covenant. To hear how we can trust in him. That we can trust in his word. That what he said he would do, he will do it.
Amen.
That we don't have to teety-totter around thinking, I don't know if he'll do it or not. We serve a sure God. That we can rely upon him, people. We serve a true God that we can rely on him. And when he says something, we can bank on it that it is truth, it is right, and it will happen. We don't know how, and sometimes we try to make it happen. We think it'll go this or that or whatever. And let me tell you, sometimes it does that way, goes that way. Sometimes it doesn't. But it does not matter how God wants to do it, just so we trust him to do it. You know, going back to Noah, that man, and I know he, you know, we can talk about his drunkenness and all that stuff. And alcohol should never be a part of our lives, people.
That's true.
Shouldn't be. Now, that doesn't mean people don't battle that stuff, even as Christians. But you read what happened to Noah. And let me tell you, God was very displeased with that stuff.
Amen.
Don't ever let that stuff touch your lips. It kills more people. Drunk drivers kills more people than we've ever could dream of. There's more broken marriages and broken homes because of alcohol. There's more, now you used to could say there was more women being beaten because of alcohol, but now you can say men too because it's both sides now. There's no boundaries anymore. Alcohol has stripped people of their homes, their lives. You know, I know many of you have grown up in homes where there was a lot of alcohol, huh? Some. I know it. I grew up in a home. My dad was an alcoholic for years, and something happened. It had to be God, and changed the last few years of his life. Drank every day, spent all his money on drink, and come home, we'd have no money to buy food. And back then, there was not much welfare. You just did what you had to do. Wasn't an easy life, but God is faithful.
Amen.
And we all have our stories, and I hate to say story because kind of think of a story, not truth, but we all have our stories where God has miraculously done things. So let me tell you, don't ever let that stuff touch your lips. Don't let it. Don't let it even come close to you. Deny that stuff. Run from it. Because it will destroy. To become an alcoholic, all you got to do is take one little sip. And it could be the first of many.
Amen.
But you can't handle it. Stay away from it. Don't let it come close to you. I say, what if somebody tempts me? You run. Run to the Father and help him. But Noah, that man, God spoke to him to build an ark. I wasn't going to talk about it, but that's okay. Can you imagine when God came to Noah and said, look, I want you to build this big boat. Football fields long. They never saw rain before. How much faith it must have taken for Noah to say, Lord, okay. But doubting in maybe in his mind and heart some. I'll do it, but what? Yeah, what you talking about? And he starts building it, taking years and years of his sons helping him build this boat. And as people would walk by, they'd laugh at him.
Mm-hmm.
Noah's building a boat that big for what? There's no body of water that big around here that we can even haul this thing to. It's so huge. Laughing at him. He was the talk of the town for years and years. And not good talk either. Can you believe that man is believing in Jehovah God? That he told him this to build this boat? But they didn't realize. You see, that's just like the coming of the Lord. People are saying we're crazy to believe it. Even the church has come to a place where a lot of people don't believe it. That's a shame. It says to comfort one another with these words, that he's going to split the eastern skies. The trump of God will sound. The skies will open. He'll come back. Won't put his foot on the earth yet. The graves are going to open. My God, the people that believe. And can you imagine the Christians that said, oh, I don't believe that anymore. They will still go because of their hearts. They've been saved. If they're still striving to live for God, the blood of Jesus will take them. But can you imagine what a day that will be when our Jesus comes back for us? What a day that will be. Noah kept building that boat. If they use nails or whatever they use, glue, pitch in the middle, and they just built it. It's an amazing thing. They had to do it exactly the way God printed it out. When that blueprint came off of that press from heaven above, it was given to Noah. And God said, follow. And you might say, what if Noah wouldn't have followed what God said? His family wouldn't have been saved.
That's right.
Or the animals. You know, God had to use a man to save humanity. You ever thought about that?
Twice, yeah.
God had to use him. A man, Moses, Noah. To save humanity. And still today, God has to use man to save humanity by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It took a man. You know, Jesus couldn't come as God and die upon that cross as just God. Now you might say, well, wasn't he God when he was? Yes, he was 100% man. Because he had a body, 100% man, but yet he was 100% God. But that 100% man had to die for humanity so the blood could be accepted to the Father. And he would say, forever your sins are forgiven. Forever, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus, Holy Spirit, go get the ones that have been held in paradise for me. I want to be with them. I want to talk with them. I want them to be in heaven with me. Go get them. And it says that Jesus went down and he preached to the spirits. You know what that was? That was evil, demonic spirits. We don't know what he told them, but I tell you what, I know it was a triumph speech.
Amen.
Telling them, I've defeated you for humanity. I defeated you. They no longer have to live under your curse. They no longer have to live under your evil powers. But they have been set free in their minds. They've been set free in their hearts. And from this day forward, they will serve me with everything they have within their bodies. Man, my God. We can trust him. We can trust him with our souls, people. We can trust him with our lives, people. We can trust him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my God. Let's read. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God.
Amen.
We're to serve one God.
One.
No other.
Amen.
As Christians, we are Christ-like. We're never to bow our knee before any God except him.
Hallelujah.
We're never to bow our knee towards the world, towards the things of the world, but we're to bow our knees before God. Those three men stood up, and when the word went forth that they were to all kneel and bow before that God, the pagan God. They just stood. They didn't shout anything. It doesn't say that. They didn't say anything, they just stood. They just stood. They trusted their God. And if they would die, they would die and be with the Father or in paradise. But if they didn't die, God would save them. Oh, they said, maybe those three didn't hear. So they yielded out the siren again and they, about bowing to their God. And they just stood. The king got so mad, and we know the story. They were going to throw them in the fiery furnace. They heated it up, threw them in, and in the fire, the King of Kings was with them.
Hallelujah.
They trusted God. We need to have a tenacity like they had. We need to have a boldness like they had. Yes, we're to love everybody. And let me tell you, love conquers all. But it has to be a God kind of love. And let me tell you, a God kind of love, you look in the Bible, it's a love that will tell you what's right, what's wrong, what's evil, what's pure. The world thinks love is accepting everything and doing everything. Yeah, and you're not going to tell me it's wrong. You're not going to tell me anything. That's not God's kind of love. They stood the test. And the king looked in there and said, there's one like the Son of Man in there. And look, they were having a party. And let me tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't want that furnace door opened. Because they were having fun with their God. People, we need to have fun with our God. Let him lead you and guide you. Build a relationship with him. Let him speak things to you. Let him mold and make you into what he desires and wants you to be. Be sold out to him no matter what. No matter what goes on the outside, that we keep our faith and our trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, I don't know, the fire burned off the things that bound them, or Jesus did it. I don't know, whatever it was, but those things came off of them. And they were jumping and leaping and praising their God, because the Son of Man was physically in there with them. They saw him. They spoke to him. They witnessed him being in the fire with them. Let me tell you, anytime we get in the fire of life, Jesus is in the fire. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is there with us. Yeah. We're not alone. We may feel alone. We may feel like the world is crashing in. We may feel the walls are coming in. But let me tell you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in the fire, and he's with us. They trusted God. They trusted God. They trusted God. And as they trusted him, they didn't know what God would do. And we don't know what God will do in the future. But what we do is we trust him today. We trust him tomorrow. We trust him next week and next year. And we're going to see the tremendous things of our Father come about upon our world and upon this church and upon our lives and upon our families that we've never seen before, because we're trusting in him. We're trusting in him that he's going to turn the wrong into right. He's going to do what he's going to make things happen. Make things happen. Because he's the one that can separate the oil from the water. He's the one that can take a mixture and blend it back out. He's the one that can make wrong right. He's the one that can work on our behalf. He's the one that goes before us. He's the one that does these things. He's the one that can bless us. He's the one that can bring the people in. He's the one that can make things happen on our behalf, because we trust in him and what he can do. And as we hold on upon the word of God and upon the things he speaks to us, no man on earth can shake it. No man on earth can make us not believe. Let me tell you, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got out of that fire furnace, and they walked out, and Jesus left. You know, as far as they were shouting with praise, baby. Shouting with glory for what our Father has done for them. And we know the end result, Nebuchadnezzar praised their God and gave them leadership over certain areas. My God. Because they trusted in a God that could save them. We don't know the end results, but we know the journey is sweeter and sweeter every day. It gets better and better. Trust him, no matter. You know, we know the thing, the scripture in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And what? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's the God we serve. Amen. This is not the end of our calling. This is the beginning. This is not the end of our lives. This is the beginning of our lives. You might say, well, I'm 70, I'm 80, I'm whatever. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the age. You worry about the King of Kings that can renew your strength like the eagle's wings, like the eagles, renewing them daily. Their feather, and we heard feathers fall off and it grows new. That's the kind of God we serve. Let's trust him. Let's see God move in this next year like we've never seen him move before. Let's give him everything we have that we possess and say, Father, it's yours. I don't know what to do with it, but I give it to you. And trust him with everything in our lives. Let me tell you, as we trust him, one step at a time, He gives us the light. We take another step. He gives us more light. We take another step, too, and there's more light. He'll speak things to your heart and mind. You got to do it, people. Got to do it. Don't wait. Unless you're not sure, just let God do what He needs to do. Because as you take a step, more light comes, and then more light comes. And let me tell you, something happens on the inside of you. And something happens on the outside of the world. The number one goal of the church is souls, people. That's it. And I mean souls coming to the knowledge of Christ. That Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's not feeding everybody in the world. Now that's important. But let me tell you, that's back from a soul in heaven. That's number one. Go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. Preach the gospel into all the world. The world might be gate unto us. That's our world. The world might be Kaplan, Gaydon, for me in Paris. That's our world. And we want to handle our world for the gospel's sake to get things done. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. And we're going to see God open doors that we've never seen Him open before. Isn't that going to be an amazing thing, people, as we trust Him? Amen. You may stand.